Here's your enemy's ultimate goal. It comes from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, and Scripture is very clear. Listen to what it says. Here we go. Truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus talking. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Moving on. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And then here it is. Here is your enemy's ultimate goal. Jesus gives us our outline for this evening, all right? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let's pray real quick. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. And I pray right now, God, that you would use me in spite of myself, God, that you would forgive me of the ways I fail you, that I may stand before these students, these leaders tonight, pure to bring your word. God, I pray that you would just take over in this moment and that you would awake our sleeping souls, Father, to your word and change us and make us more into the image of Jesus. Be with every word that comes from this mouth. Let it come from the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Let it be nothing in and of myself, Father, because you would not receive any glory from that whatsoever. Glorify yourself in our midst tonight. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, man, Jesus has already given you the outline. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and what's the third one? Destroy. There's your three-point outline for the night, all right? But the question is this. You could technically fill that out and be like, okay, Stephen's done. But he's not. Here's the way it works. Because Stephen is now going to refer to himself in the third person for the rest of this sermon. No, I'm not. Steal what? Kill what? Destroy what? We're not exactly told that here. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly, but he's told us right before that, the thief comes, and here's the thief's goal. Here's the thief's plan. Here is your enemy's plan for your life, Christian, as it relates to this semester, as it relates to right now at this moment, as it relates to the rest of your life. He wants to steal something, he wants to kill something, and ultimately he wants to destroy something. And it happens in that order. And we're going to see that tonight. But the first thing we got to realize is Jesus is painting a big picture here, and he's referring to us in this passage. And who are we? We're sheep. I'm going to put this as simple as I can, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes, hurt anybody's feelings, because we're all in the same boat. Sheep are stupid. They are. If you don't believe me, watch this. It should be the next one in line, the very next.
Welcome back, everyone.
Finally, no, not that one, not that one, sorry.
Crook of the month, and this time around,
that one's coming up. Sorry, I must have put them in the wrong order. Here's why sheep are stupid. Bam! All you got to do is follow the guy in front of you, man. He didn't jump into a brick wall. Why do you got to do that? You know, can we see that again, Seth? Just say it. Wait, bam! now here's the thing about sheep. This is why it's so important. We can go ahead and go to the title slide again. This is why it's so important for sheep to have a shepherd. Because if sheep do not have a shepherd, anybody know what they'll do? Basically, they'll die, yes, because the shepherd is the one that takes them where they need to be safe. The shepherd is the one that takes them where they need to be in order to eat and be fed. Apart from the shepherd, the sheep would pretty much stand there until it killed over. I mean, it would get hungry, and it would all this, but it would have no idea where to find its food without the loving care of the shepherd. And I love how Jesus paints this analogy all throughout Scripture, and he refers to us as sheep so much, and it's not because we're stupid, even though sheep are. It's because of the relationship that a shepherd has with his sheep. When Jesus says, how many of you, when he has 100 sheep and one is lost, will not leave the 99 to go find the one that is lost? And when he finds it, and it's probably in a place where it is starving, it's probably in a place where it is about to die, it is probably in a place where it's about to be attacked by all these other vicious creatures, and all it can do is sit there and go, that's all it's got. That's the only defense mechanism for a sheep. Or it goes, screams or something like that. That's all it's got. It's all it can do. It can ram its own head into a wall somehow, and maybe an animal will feel sorry for it and leave it alone. I don't know. But that's basically all it's got. And then Jesus said, when the shepherd finds the sheep, this is what he does. He doesn't scold the sheep. He doesn't, take a little staff and wring it around the neck necessarily. Jesus says this. He takes the sheep and he picks it up and he lays it on his shoulders and it carries it back to safety. He doesn't even make the sheep walk on its own back. He finds the sheep where it is and he takes the sheep up and he places it on his shoulders so the sheep can rest while he's the one that walks. He's the one that carries. He's the one that goes through all the mud, that climbs all the hills, that goes through all the treacherous terrain in order to get that sheep back to the fold where it is safe. All because he loves it. He loves us, how he loves us. We've just sang of that. We've just sang of the love that God has for us. And we've sang of the love that the shepherd has for his sheep. So that's the shepherd. That's who we are. That's who our shepherd is. Our shepherd is Christ, and he loves us. But we have an enemy. We have an enemy who seeks to steal sheep. So let's break this down. The enemy comes, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steal what? Kill what? Destroy what? First of all, it works like this, and I will go down screaming this one, man. First of all, your enemy's ultimate goal is to steal what? Your joy. That's where it starts. If he can steal your joy, man, he is on the path to absolutely bringing about destruction. Steal your joy. Now, I want to show you another video. Now, first of all, I want you to realize something. Your enemy, church, is very clever. He's not an idiot, unlike the two guys I'm getting ready to show you. Check it out.
Welcome back, everyone. Finally, it's time for our stupid crook of the month. And this time around, you get two stupid crooks for the price of one. Let's go ahead now and take you right to the video where you can see just how two would-be burglars attempted to literally bust into this establishment. You can see crook number one, the lookout, is handling his assigned task very well, making sure no one is looking, at least if you don't count the surveillance camera. And what does he get for being such a quality lookout? Knocked out. The boulder his partner used drills him right in the coconut. Now that his cohort has completely disabled his partner and doesn't even check to see if he's okay, he decides to throw another boulder through the glass. Oops! He too enjoys a brick sandwich. The perfect crime was diverted by a powerful 1-2 window punch, making these quite possibly the easiest criminals in the history of bad crimes to catch. All right, that's going to do it for now. As always, we appreciate you.
We know crime doesn't pay. Oh gosh, man, that looked like it hurt so bad. But your enemy is not foolish in this sense. He is not unwise. He is very clever. He is very crafty, and he will start by stealing your joy. But the question is, where is our joy found? If our joy is found in anything, if our joy is found in anyone, if our joy is found in something that we can lose tomorrow, then the enemy can very, very easily steal our joy. If our joy is found in another person, that other person may not be with us forever. If our joy is found entirely in them, then our joy can be stolen. But for the child of God, for the Christian, our ultimate joy is found in who? It's found in Christ. And Satan cannot steal Christ from us. If the thief comes in and he steals the sheep, because he stole the sheep, that does not make him the enemy's sheep now. Because a lot of people think, well, the devil came in, the devil got a hold of them, man, and then maybe they lost their salvation. So that's not the way it works. Because the devil comes in and steals a sheep, that does not make it the devil's sheep. That sheep still belongs to Christ. Yes, the devil may have a hold on it. Yes, your enemy may have a grip on you. But the reality is that sheep belongs to Christ. And regardless of what happens with that sheep, because the sheep belongs to Christ, when everything is said and done, that sheep will be with Christ. Now, there's a lot that we can read into there. But I just want to make the point that, a little side note here, it is impossible to remove oneself or to even be stolen from the fold of God. Jesus himself said, all that the Father has given to me will come to me, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one. In other words, they will never cease to be my sheep. They will never stop being my children. But he can, if you let him, he can steal your joy. He can't steal you ultimately away from Christ, but he will steal your joy. And how does he steal your joy? How does that happen? It happens like this. If the devil can get you out of the Word of God, if he can keep you out from having your quiet time, if he can keep you out from reading God's Word and memorizing and learning it, if he can keep you away from dwelling on God's Word, he can steal your joy very easily. If he can keep you away from praying, if he can keep you away from praying, he can steal your joy very, very easily. I want you to notice something. Never, ever will Satan, never, ever will the devil, never, ever will your enemy ever tempt you to pray. He won't. He won't do that. That is very much counterproductive to his plan. He will not keep you from praying. He will not tempt you to pray. It is his job to keep you away from praying as much as possible. I remember one of my favorite books that I have lent to someone in this room, and he has had it for years and has still never given it back to me. Jordan Combs. Oh, sorry. Hey, Jordan. Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis. And in that book, it's one demon writing to another demon and kind of mentoring another demon on how to torment a person, and then that person becomes saved. And in that book, the head demon is talking to the Padawan demon, the Jedi in training, if you will, as far as the Sith is concerned. He's talking to him and said, the amazing thing is this, the amazing thing that a lot of Christians don't understand is it's not that we're trying to put all this junk in their heads, it's that we're trying to keep all the things of Christ out. The devil is not so much concerned about feeding your mind with junk as much as he is keeping everything about who Jesus is out of your mind. Because if he can keep Christ out, then all that junk is just going to naturally flow in. It's not his strategy to just fill your mind with all this stuff that could ruin you. It's his strategy to keep Christ away so that you ruin yourself. It's a pretty amazing thing. But he will, if you let him, steal your joy. And so how do we keep him from stealing our joy? We get in the Word. We spend time in prayer. We pray even when we feel that God's not hearing us. We read the Word even when we feel it's not making sense. But we discipline ourselves to be in the Word. We discipline ourselves to be in prayer so that we keep Christ close. We stay close to him because it's about us staying close to our shepherd. Because why? Because we are prone to wander. Prone to wander, Lord, we feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Come thou fount of every blessing, by the way. Amazing hymn. But it tells us who we are. We are prone to wander. We are sheep, and we are prone to wander away from our shepherd. And so we need to stay close to the shepherd. Stay close in his word. Stay close in prayer, or Satan will steal your joy. Not only does he come to steal, but he also comes to kill. And I'm convinced that he doesn't come. His ultimate goal is not to kill you physically. He comes to steal your joy, and he comes to kill what? He comes to kill your witness. Look at it this way. He starts by stealing your joy, and if he can steal your joy, if he can get Christ out of your mind, if he can make you stop focusing on Jesus, if he can make you stop being in the Word, if he can make you stop praying, then after all this sin, which will come naturally as a result of keeping Christ away, he'll seek to absolutely kill your witness. Now, hear me out. First of all, apart from God giving Satan the go-ahead, he does not possess the authority to take your life. Satan does not possess that authority. You look at Job. You look at Peter. In fact, Jesus turned around and looked at Peter and said, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Satan desires to kill you, Peter. But I've prayed for you. I've interceded for you on your behalf before the Father, and that's not going to happen right now. So, Satan can't do anything apart from God's go-ahead. Now, Satan knows he's defeated. Your enemy knows he's defeated. Therefore, he wants to do as much damage to the gospel that he can possibly do. And the truth is this, guys. A lot of times, your life physically, your physical life coming to an end doesn't damage the gospel as bad as your spiritual life becoming an absolute wreck in the eyes of lost people. That's why your enemy is not so much concerned about killing you physically, he's concerned about killing you as far as your witness goes. Because if he can kill your witness, if he can steal your joy and then kill your witness, then because of that happening in our life and because of us parading around and this sin coming in, apart from because of all of that, he seeks to bring damage to the gospel. But you know what? The amazing thing is that even in this situation, because there are some people, man, there are some people who the devil has stolen their joy, and there are some people who the devil has killed their witness, and there is still, because of Christ, there is still redemption, there is still forgiveness because of what Christ has done. So the devil's in a lose-lose here, but since he knows he's going down, he's going to try to take down as many people with him as possibly can. And then finally, not only does he steal your joy, not only does he kill your witness, but all of this leads to destroy. And what will he destroy? Your life. Your enemy, the thief, comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. To steal your joy, to kill your witness after he has stolen your joy. And after he has stolen your joy and killed your witness, he will then at that point seek to absolutely destroy your life. And that doesn't mean physically killing you. That means destroying you, making you miserable for the rest of your life, and trying to throw so much guilt on you, and trying to convince you that God doesn't love you anymore, trying to convince you that there is no forgiveness for you, trying to convince you that there is no redemption for you. But Christ, all of this is a lie. All of this is a lie, guys, because the Word tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That if we confess our sins, he that is God is faithful. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So maybe you're here tonight. I don't know. I know a lot of us, I'm assuming that a lot of us in here are Christians, but maybe there's someone in here where you feel that, or at least there was some point in your life where you felt like the devil had stolen your joy. Maybe he was seeking to kill your witness. Maybe he was destroying your life altogether. But there is still hope, and the hope is in Jesus Christ. It's not in your ability to get your life back on track. It's not in your ability to fix your problems. It's not in your ability to gain a good reputation again. It's in Christ and who he is for you. This semester, this year, some of you have just walked into the sixth grade. Some of you are, this is your last go around in high school, man. You're graduating this year. Some of you have just stepped into college. Some of you, you're getting ready to get out of college in a year. Some of you are on the 8-year plan and they're getting ready to name a building after you on campus. Wherever you're at, this semester, this is your enemy's game plan for your life. This is his game plan for you, Christian. You've been warned. You know ahead of time what he's going to try to do. Because Jesus himself has told us, your enemy will come to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal your joy, kill your witness, destroy your life. And it will happen in that order. That's the way it works. If he can keep you away from Jesus, then everything else that could kill your witness is naturally going to pile on top of that. And then the result of all that is he is going to try to absolutely destroy your life. So I say all of that to plead with you this semester. as you are coming here every single Wednesday to get refueled, if you will, to get energized, to get fed the Word of God, that every single day apart from Wednesday, every single day that you will be spending time in God's Word, that you'll be spending time in prayer and just crying out to God and say, God, I know, I may not understand what I'm reading right now. It may seem like you're a million miles away from me right now, but I know that if I don't do this, I'm going to wander. I know that if I don't do this, that I'm going to leave the fold and I'm going to be in a place where I do not want to be. So keep me close to you. And while I'm close, use me for the sake of the gospel and not allow the enemy to steal my joy, kill my witness, and destroy my life.